moment you've all been waiting for.
You what? Well,
that hit the spot.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Gosscast with myself, Ali Ryan, the founder and CEO of Goss.ie. So this week's episode is a bit different from what we normally do, but incredibly important, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of other people's opinions. On my own platforms across Instagram and Twitter this week, I've been speaking up about double standards in business and in life in general, between men and women, and it seems to have resonated with so many people. So on my Instagram page, which is It's Ali Rose is the tag, so at @itsalirose, basically what happened was I put up a video over the weekend, last weekend, of myself tanning, and as a cute little funny little thing, I did a video where you could see my ass in the reflection of the mirror, and I was all tanned and I had a tanning mitt. But over the years, like, I've been on social media since about 2008 in a serious way, as in, like, I've posted quite a lot. I would be known for taking selfies, you know, to people's annoyance for some reason. So, like, over the years, I've noticed that if I ever put up something that's a bit sexual, or shows a bit of skin, I would see on Instagram in particular that the reach of that post would be massive and it would be shared. And, you know, when Facebook groups, very toxic Facebook groups started about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and anonymous Instagram pages started, a lot of people were being very negative about women in general. Now, there was a few pages that mentioned men as well, but when it came to women, a lot of people's problems had to do with how they dressed, how they looked, how they acted. So I think a lot of the times when you talk about gender inequality and, you know, misogyny, sexism, slut shaming, a lot of people think straight away that, like, you're talking about men, like, that men are causing this problem, that men treat women like shit, that men comment on how they look. But it is women as well. There is a responsibility on both men and women to cut this crap out. And this crap, I mean slut shaming, misogynistic comments, commenting on a woman's appearance in general. It never should be something that's spoken about, especially in a workplace. And since I put up a post this week, so I basically put up a photo, I put up the original video being like, I knew this was going to cause hassle. It's ridiculous, you know, that I can't put up a video like this. It's my body. It's my feed. If you don't like it, don't follow me. Double standards drive me nuts. And it just went a little bit viral. I got like 1,200 new followers. I got over 500 messages. I'm still going through them now. So then I posted another photo in lingerie and a shirt at my laptop, just being like, you know what, I can be sexy, I can show off my body, but I'm also an entrepreneur, I'm also a businesswoman, I also deserve your respect. And it just seems to have resonated with so many people, and I honestly didn't think that would happen, because I have found over the years that when I post something on social media, I'll get slammed mainly by women. The other side of it is, you know, how men treat women. And I think in this podcast as well, I have Kiki Fitness on, who's an amazing online fitness coach who lives in Dubai. And we both are talking about how men treat women from a young age and the kind of behavior, I suppose, that we accept. And with this whole thing, I want to call it a movement, which probably sounds OTT, but I just feel like something is starting. Like, since Me Too began, women have been so brave. They've been coming out, they've been telling their stories, you know, they've really bared their soul in order for other women to feel that they can come forward. And that's what it's all about. It's not about slamming men or slamming women. It's about letting other women know that this is not okay. You know, a man calling you honey or slapping you in the ass is not okay. It's also not okay for sexual assault, sexual misconduct, abuse of power. There's a million things that are not okay. And I think it's time that as women together, we start to realize that we need to start standing up for ourselves more. And like, I turned 30 this year. So like, I'm at a point now where I'm stronger, I'm resilient more than I was when I was younger. And me and Kiki talk about it in the podcast, how vulnerable and uncomfortable it is to actually just be a woman, to just be born a woman. The constant fear of, you know, being attacked, being raped, being touched inappropriately, going into a club expecting someone to pinch your ass, because that's what happens. None of that is okay. And it is a societal issue in that we kind of grow up expecting this behavior and we accept it a lot of the time. We mightn't be happy about it, but, you know, we try not to cause a drama or cause a scene. We just let it happen. Other women, other men will be like, oh, let it slide. So I feel like a lot of women have been silenced for such a long time, but now I'm starting to feel is the time to speak up. I don't know one woman that hasn't got a story to do with either being slut-shamed by a girl and slammed by a girl for what she's wearing, or, you know, slut-shamed by a man, touched inappropriately by a man, has been the victim of assault, misogyny, sexism, gender inequality in the workplace, whether that is not being paid the same as your male counterpart or it's being touched inappropriately. There's just so much that's been going on. And during the week when all this had happened, a few people messaged me being like, have you listened to Liveline? I think she, a girl called Roisin, she was on Tuesday, and I hadn't, and I listened back to it, and it was this incredibly brave girl speaking about how when she was a teenager, she had sex with someone publicly and she was filmed. She was like out of her mind drunk, so was the guy. There was a lot of drink had. She didn't know she was being filmed. This video went everywhere. She was judged by her peers. The school did nothing about it. Her parents stopped speaking to her. The whole situation sounded horrible, and she was massively slut-shamed, and he was called a legend. And this has happened for years, like, especially when I used to work in newspapers. I can't actually tell you the amount of sex tapes or sexy videos, you know, private pictures that were taken, you know, of celebrities or sent to celebrities that have been circulated, you know, trying to get into a paper, trying to get into the news. You know, most notably back in 2003, there was that big story about the rugby threesome, if you remember that, where a girl was filmed having sex with two rugby players. And at the time, she was massively slut-shamed. I wrote about it. Like, she was called a slapper, called a slut. The guys were called legends. Same problem. The same year, randomly, the Slain Girl controversy happened, where a girl was filmed giving a man a blowjob at Slain Castle at an M&M gig. Went viral. She felt her life was destroyed. She was slut shamed. There's actually a photo of the guy putting his hands up in a pose being like, yeah, I'm a legend. Do we even know anything about him? Has anyone wrote about him? No, everyone wrote about her. The whole incident was about her, and she was again the person that was slut shamed. And it's just insane that this type of behavior is still happening. And I think it's taken me this week to realize how prevalent it is. Like, I guess I've felt over the last couple of years that this is my issue and I've had problems with it, because I would be quite provocative. Like, I like to put up a sexy photo, I like to put up a sexy video. And you know, something did happen a couple of years ago where I was massively, massively slut-shamed. And it's not something I'm ready to go into yet, but it has affected me so much. And I think for me, posting photos or bearing skin, sharing photos, lingerie, is kind of a way for me to try and gain the control back, because I felt that, like, my body, my reputation, my image was honestly stolen from me. And, you know, listening to Roisin this week, that's how she felt, you know, to be filmed without her consent and for nothing to happen. So when I was listening to it, it reminded me about how there's actually no revenge porn law in Ireland. And it's something I'm really passionate about, and it's something I'm going to dedicate the next few months, hopefully only a few months, because I want this to change rapidly, to try and pushing through. So last year, 2019, in May, a bill was accepted by government that would mean revenge porn is illegal. And what they had said that came under those terms was posting intimate images online and secretly filming private areas, which is technically called upskirting. So, you know, if you ever see paparazzi photos of, you know, Lindsay Lohan getting out of a cab and we can see her underwear, like, that's going to become illegal. But what's really shocked me is it's still not illegal. So the law actually hasn't been put into place. And I've actually contacted the Minister for Justice this week to be like, what is going on? And I'm going to contact as many people as I can over the next few weeks, over the next few months, to be like, what is happening? Because the terrifying thing about this revenge porn law not being in place here, now it is in place in a lot of other countries, is that someone could film you without your consent and post it online and nothing would happen. No jail time. Nothing. It's not a criminal offence. It also means if you send a photo of yourself, a sexy pose, a naked picture to your boyfriend and then you break up, then he decides, I'm going to shame her with this. I'm going to put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, put it on Snapchat. Again, you have nothing to protect you. As a woman, you are not protected. That can still happen without any criminal ramifications. So the bill suggested a 6 month jail sentence and a fine. So I really feel like this is something I'm going to be and continuously be passionate about, that this needs to come through in the law. We need to feel protected, because once there's a protection there, I'm hoping that it's going to really stamp out this behavior. But for me, and I say it when I'm talking to Kiki in this now as well, starting off with something small like being slut shamed, right? So you're in a relationship with a guy, he wants to know what your number is. It's talked about all the time. And a guy can tell you, I've slept with hundreds of girls, I can't remember. And you're like, okay. And then a girl is like, I slept with 15. 15? You slept with 15 guys? How? There's always this kind of reaction. So men want women to be virginal, to look amazing, to be brought home to the mother. But they also want to have sex with you. They want you to be in lingerie, but not in public, not online, not with their friends. And this is where double standards really come into play. So as women, we're told, don't have sex in the first date because he will never bring you home to his mom. And it's something that both women and men think. And I have found over the years, you know, that women in particular would say to me, you'd look classier if you had brown hair. You would look classier if you covered up. Or, you know, I'd wear something that would be more covered up than my usual style. Because I, you know, I would be kind of known for wearing booby things. I like my boobs. Sorry. Like, I want to show them off. One day I'm going to be wrinkly and old. I have a good ass. I want to show them off. Like, you got it, you flaunt it. You know, flaunt whatever you got. That's how I feel. But it has largely been women that have said things like this to me. And, you know, when I was working somewhere before, I remember getting in an elevator and I just had dyed my hair brown. It was very mousy, boring, blaring, because I was trying to, like, change my colour. And a female colleague, a senior colleague to me, but she was a colleague, said, God, you look so much classier with brown hair. And honestly, it made me want to dye my hair blonde immediately, because I was like, how dare you tell me that you're going to respect me more as a woman, respect me more as a colleague if I dye my hair brown. The other issue is if you dress sexy and your hair is blonde and your boobs are up and your legs are showing off, men will say you're a distraction. You're distracting the office, you're distracting the guys, you're distracting the clients. It's not appropriate. But again, if a man is distracted by how you look, he has a serious fucking problem with himself. He's a bad attention span and he's obviously not good at his job if he can't take his eyes off your breasts for 10 minutes. This is the type of thing that I've been speaking about. And in this podcast as well, like, we're chatting about the two ways this happens, you know, with men and women. So like with men, and it's hard to explain what exactly it is, because I'm like, is it sexism? Is it gender equality? Is it slut shaming? Is it misogyny? It's kind of all of them combined, to be honest. And I think with men, it's a power thing. It's a dominance thing, you know. So a man is in charge in that moment when he's saying to you, you look like a slapper, you dress like a slut. And I've openly said this on my Instagram, like, a guy I was seeing before, very briefly, but he, you know, he said to me, you look like a tramp on social media, you're a wannabe, you want to be these, you know, Instagram models, you're never going to be that, you're not traditionally beautiful. He said all these things to tear me down and to make me feel shit about myself. And that, in that moment, is a power play, it's dominance, you know. He didn't want me to be displaying myself, and he said I would never be taken seriously in business if I kept posting these photos. And then for women, I think it's jealousy, you know, like if a woman is able to love Maura Higgins, you know, love Kim Kardashian, who often posts naked, who often does Playboy, like, they, you know, she plays around with her body and her image all the time. That's okay. She's done a sex tape. That's okay. But then if it's someone that they don't like, if a woman doesn't like you, or you're maybe successful, but it's a bit too close to home, or you're in business, this is what I've found. If you're a businesswoman, they don't think it's appropriate. They think you're up yourself and they think you are obsessed with yourself. And the question I have there is, what is wrong with loving yourself? You know, as women in particular, we're bashed by women, we're bashed by men. we already have all of these complexes. We don't feel good when we wake up sometimes. We look in the mirror and we don't like ourselves. We worry about our weight. We need to get hair extensions. We need to get our lashes. We need to get our teeth done. Like, everyone's worried about how they look. Why do we deserve more of a backlash because we're finally feeling confident? And it's something that I personally have had so many issues with my whole life. And I think this week, speaking about misogyny and sexism and gender inequality and slut shaming, it's triggered me a lot, to be honest, to situations that have happened throughout the years, you know, even from the side of things of like being bullied. Like, I was really badly bullied as a child. I started being bullied at the age of 4, which I know doesn't even sound true, but it is, like, by another girl that was on my road. And this kind of behavior continued throughout different schools that I was in. Like, I was in 4 different schools. I was forced to move schools twice because of bullying behavior. And my mum used to always tell me, it's because they're jealous of you. But when you're bullied so badly, you literally start to hate yourself. Like, you actually just hate yourself. You hate how you look. You hate how you act. You start to think that no one likes you. No one's ever going to like you. You're not lovable. You're not worthy. And it's a shame, because I think women who bully other women, they actually want you to feel that. They want you to feel less confident. And like, I would have been very bubbly in school. I would go for what I wanted. In life in general, I always have. I want that guy, I'm going to get that guy. I want that job, I'm going to get that job. I want to make this money, I'm going to get that money. That's how I am. But so many women, especially back in school times, saw that, didn't like it, wanted to get rid of it. And I hate that it almost did, because it damaged my confidence so much. And I can honestly tell you, there has been times where I have hated myself and I have thought, I'm not good enough. No one's going to love me. No one's going to respect me. You know, it's been a struggle. So to go from school and then go into kind of real life and to see that this kind of inequality and this bullying behavior happens again in later life due to either jealousy or dominance, like I said, it freaked me out. And like, I had a situation in a workplace where I wasn't getting on with another woman. And I remember a senior member of staff saying to me, well, you came in here with, you know, your boobs, your blonde hair, you're young. What did you expect was going to happen? They kind of laughed about it, like, you should expect that women aren't going to like you because of how you dress and how you look. And at the time I was like, right, okay. Now I look back and I'm like, why should I accept that I should be treated badly because I look confident? Like, the funny thing is, people always say to me, you're so confident, like, I wish I had your confidence. But so much of it has become an act because of things that have happened to me over the years and, you know, bullying situations, things like that. I fake it all the time. I'll walk into a room and be like, hi, how are you, in a tight dress, but I internally will be thinking, everyone in this room hates me, everyone thinks I'm a slut, no one respects me. Like, these are the things that go through my head. And I think after posting these stories and videos and photos this week, I'm starting to realize I'm not alone in thinking this, that a lot of women do. And, you know, people always question, how do women get into abusive relationships? Like, why do they stay? Why do they, you know, accept that behavior? And when I was seeing that guy, you know, it was quite emotionally abusive, because he would say things like, you're never going to be this, or you don't look good in that, and I think you should look this way and not that way. And my own friends were like, why would you let someone speak to you like that? But I feel like as women, we're almost programmed to accept language like that. Like, I have been called a slut, a slapper, inappropriate, not classy all the time. So when he was saying it to me, I just was like, I took it. Like, I know it's not that I sat there and I smiled, like, I did argue it and stuff, but I did take it to a certain extent. I allowed someone to speak to me like that. And I guess with this podcast and with my posts in general, I really just want to try and stamp out this seed, because I feel like this is the seed of sexual assault, sexual harassment, sexual abuse, abuse of boyfriends, domestic abuse, violence against women. It all starts with this objectification of women, misogyny, sexism, gender equality, slut shaming. If you're a girl and you're in a Facebook group where they slam people for not wearing a bra, or they look slutty today, or you're in school and you say that girl's a slut, you are a part of the problem. You are the reason why bad things are happening to women and will continue to happen to women. And I'm not, like, I know that might sound a bit harsh, but that is the truth. I have heard more women call girls sluts than I've ever heard a man say it. And I think it's important as well, and me and Kiki are going to go into this, I think it's important to stand up for yourself in those situations. And I think when you're younger, especially in your teens, it's very, very difficult to have the strength and confidence to stand up for yourself, to be courageous enough to say, this isn't okay. But what I want to really do is try and convince women and girls and mothers and sisters and daughters to speak about this more and to have this discussion with their friends, with their loved ones, with the men in their life. This isn't okay. Like a man even calling you sweetie or honey that you've never met, a taxi driver, a barman, that's not okay. Like you can turn around to that person, don't call me sweetie, don't touch me, don't slap my ass. You know, you're in a nightclub and someone pinches your ass and you kind of go, oh yeah, you know, this is what happens. This happens when you're a girl. No, we need to stop that man and be like, do not touch me like that. Now, obviously don't get yourself into violent situations, like have people around you. But I really think now is the time to step up. And with the Me Too movement, you know, it's been going strong for a couple of years and it's kind of kicking back up again. I think it's important to realize that sexual assault, sexual harassment, they all come from the basic ideologies of gender inequality. Allowing men to speak about women a certain way, allowing women to speak about women a certain way, being judged for your appearance. One of the things I spoke about during the week was how I feel I still get judged for how I dress and how I look. And the thing is, I am 30 now. I have been in business for 6 years. And still, I am being judged on how I look. And the example I gave this week when I was talking about it was an article that was in the Phoenix magazine, which is basically a media and business magazine. And they've written about me before. They're known for kind of being satirical, sarcastic, all that kind of stuff. But this piece I felt went too far. And it happened at the beginning of lockdown, so I didn't say anything because I was like, now is not the time to bring up this issue. But I'm going to read out just a little bit of what they said about me. So the article was about my business and it was saying that I was urging people to stay calm, and they looked through lots of my tweets. And I tweet so much, like I actually think I have 20,000 tweets or something to date. It's insane. But they picked selected tweets to make me look very emotional and very revealing. So I'll just read out this one part. She is famous among a certain Dublin cohort for her social media feed, which tends to be revealing, both for her catalogue of low-cut, or is that body-confident, outfits, and her emotional generosity. These include references to bawling crying during self-isolation, her musings over the location of all the fuckboys during the crisis, her lamenting over her inability to have the 6th anniversary party for Goss, and her concerns for her hair and complexion. Ali also struck a confident note earlier this month, writing, "Thankfully, I've 7 years of not having any serious big relationships to help me prepare for this." On the same day about her business affairs, Lorraine wrote, "Being in a startup and facing cash flow problems, staff issues, legal problems has made me very calm and level-headed when looking at the next few weeks and months. Never any point in stressing. Focus on what's vital to keep going and just stay calm and carry on." That's the spirit. That's them saying that's the spirit. So I got so, so angry. Like, it's honestly the most sexist thing I've ever read. And never in a million years would they write about a man in business and then also say that he's overly generous with his emotions or overly generous with the way he dresses. And the thing that really fucked me off is that when they referred to me bawling crying, it was the night of the very first Leo Radker speech. I don't think there was a dry house in the country. And everyone was tweeting that night that they were bawling their eyes out. And I tweeted something like, oh God, I'm bawling too. But the way they phrased it in the article was to make me look like I was so emotional. And the thing is, I am 6 years in business. Like, for anyone who's not in business, like, most businesses fail. Most startups fail. The fact that I'm doing this on my own, I have no investment, I have no board of directors, I have no men helping me, I have no senior advisors. This is just me by myself. But still, I'm broken down to my emotions, how I dress, and my hair and complexion. I actually started looking for a tweet to see what they meant about that. I couldn't find one. I think my tweet was saying, oh my God, can't wait to get my roots done. So it really annoyed me that this is still a huge part of how I'm judged. not the fact that I'm an award-winning journalist. I won Showbiz Journalist of the Year at the age of 22. I was the youngest person, let alone woman, to ever be nominated and to ever win that award. That's not mentioned. Like, why are the Gossies not mentioned? It's become one of the most successful awards show in the country that, again, I set up by myself. It was my idea. It was my plan. The first year of the Gossies, I was only 25. That should be applauded and commended. But what's happened over the last couple of years is that I'm heavily judged. People want me to fail. And this is not me being paranoid. This is things I've heard. I don't dress appropriately. I party too much. I have all these things that I have to do to be taken seriously. And to be honest with you, when I hear these, you know, things being said about me, it makes me want to keep doing them because I want to prove people wrong. So like for a while, people were like, she parties way too much. She always has a picture of a Prosecco in her hand in like social photos. And the funny thing is, like, people do say that to me. Do they think I'm a party girl? And when isolation started, people were like, oh my God, you must be going mad. You love going out. And I was like, no, I don't. I actually hate most of the events I go to. But I'll have one drink, two drinks. The very odd night, I'll have a mad night out. But what happened was, when that was said about me about 5 years ago, I made a conscious effort for the rest of my life in this career to always, always have a drink in my hand. So you'd probably struggle to find a social photo of me not holding a drink. I do it on purpose because it's a little fuck you to all the people who are telling me that if I have a glass of Prosecco in my hand, I don't deserve your respect. I'm a party girl. You shouldn't work with me. You shouldn't speak to me. You shouldn't be friends with me. The more people say things like that to me, the more I do it. So when I hear, you know, in that article, they said a certain cohort of people, I know there's WhatsApp groups that speak about me. I know there's Facebook groups, there's Instagram groups all the time. But when I hear someone say, her blonde hair is rank, or she's always wearing low cut tops, I will just keep wearing low cut tops, lads. I'm going to do it more. So that's where I'm at. That might sound petty, but my point is, it shouldn't matter if I pose in lingerie every day of the week on my personal social media pages. What matters is what I've achieved as a woman and what I've done for my business, for my life, how I am with my family, how I treat people, how I treat the men in my life, how I act in situations like relationships. That is what defines a character. I really don't believe how you dress, how you look and how sexy you are or not should define you as a person and define you as an entrepreneur. And it's just gone on too long. And like I said, and I'm going to play the Kiki interview now, as me and Kiki talked about, double standards. It's coming from both sides. It's women and it's men. We all need to cop the fuck on. And I'm not saying I'm a saint. I am sure I have said, that girl's top is too low. Now, I don't think I probably would have said anything about people's low-cut stuff, because to be honest, who am I to talk? But maybe I've said something before like, oh, that's too revealing. I don't know. I've never said it publicly, but I'm sure the thought has crossed my mind. And we need to stop ourselves from thinking that. You need to be able to see, you know, if you really hate women's bodies and you feel uncomfortable seeing a woman in lingerie, then just don't follow me. Like, just don't do it, because I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I'm proud of my body. I feel really confident in my body. More so for the first time in my life, really. And I want to share photos. I want to be able at the age 75 to look back and be like, God, I looked hot back then. And be able to show my grandkids or my kids I had a good body and I lived it up and I loved life and I enjoyed my life. And I didn't make decisions because a man told me to, or because a woman told me to, or because society told me to. So this is what I want. I want to stamp it out. If you guys don't follow me on Instagram, check out my page. It's Ali Rose. And also, since this all started, I have begun a separate Instagram account called Bear It All. The handle there is BearItAll_IE. And if you want to get involved, if you want to talk about it, if you want to share photos of your body, videos of your body, use the hashtag Bearit. That's B-A-E-I-T. Hashtag Bearit. Let's keep this going. I really, really feel this is an important issue. I really want things to change. I'm not going to start wearing polo necks in order for publications to say that I'm respectful and that I'm a good businesswoman. I'm going to keep wearing low-cut tops. I'm going to show off my ass. I'm going to do sexy videos. It does not define who I am as a person, as a businesswoman. And I just want anyone listening to understand that it's not okay to be spoken to like that. It's not okay for your appearance to be judged. If it's in a workplace, if it's with your boyfriend, if it's with your family, if it's with your friends, you can dress however you want. As long as you're happy with your image, that's all important. That's all that's important. Don't let people take this away from you. And the response, like I said, has been amazing. A lot of people seem to feel the same way. So I'm going to leave it there from my side of things. And I'm going to play my interview now with Kiki, who's amazing. And she talks about her own experience with sexual harassment, which is really interesting, because I think when people hear sexual harassment, they think of something huge, you know, a big ordeal, like a big drama that happened. It wasn't even a big drama, but it's something that happened that was not okay. And she still thinks about it now. And it's important to remember that. And if you hear or see a situation like hers, it's important for you to stand up and say it's not okay. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Like I said, it's not our usual format. It's a bit serious, but it's important. And enjoy. So Kiki, for anyone who may not know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Kiki. I am an online coach. And I run my business through social media. So that's kind of how I get clients. And basically I do one-on-one coaching, but it's all online, and I work with women. Yeah, so basically I work with women to like better themselves, make themselves more confident. And that's kind of what we do.
Perfect. And how long, you're in Dubai at the moment, how long have you been out there for?
Yeah, so me and my boyfriend, we moved out to Dubai in August. It wasn't really planned. It kind of just happened. I finished my degree in DCU and packed my bags, and now I live in the Middle East.
Wow. And it's funny because when I put up all those posts this week, like it seemed to resonate with certain people, and not kind of everyone you would expect, but it really definitely resonated with you, and I think definitely with your followers, because even some of the messages that I got, you know, people were kind of telling me how they found me and stuff like that. A lot of people were like, I saw you on Kiki's page. So like, it's definite to me that a lot of your followers, that this whole issue really resonated with them.
Yeah, because my following, I have 70% women. So there's a lot of issues. I talk about everything, but this is a particular issue that definitely, you know, it resonates with a lot of people, and it kind of, you know, obviously it gets people riled up, because being a woman, you're born a woman, so you're born like this is going to happen to you. So obviously a lot of the girls that follow me like have similar situations. I've had loads of messages that girls are like, you know, this has happened to me, I can resonate with this, I like completely understand this.
It's just crazy. And for yourself, what was it about the post, I suppose, that resonated with you, that you felt the need to share and be like, this is a conversation that we need to have?
Yeah, so I was just reading all, like I was listening to your stories, and I just, a thing that really like bugged me and triggered me was how you're like a professional, you're a business owner, but all of your achievements get overlooked because of something you're wearing, something you're doing that may not be deemed in society's eyes to be professional. And that's what bothers me, because I get that too.
And so you were saying to me earlier, before we even started recording, that obviously you and your boyfriend, right, you basically do the same thing. You're both online trainers. The only difference is you're a woman, he's a man. But you were saying that, like, you feel there's a lot of inequalities there.
Yeah, like, the fitness industry is great and everything, but, like, there is, you know, there's inequalities everywhere. But, like, I find, like, what I have personally, like, found in the fitness industry, that like I have to prove myself a bit more, that like my boyfriend, he's seen, like he's like, oh, you're a gym guy, you know your stuff, like you know this, and like I'm kind of like, I feel like I have to prove everything, I feel like I have to, like, you know, even though I'm like, I'm qualified, I did a bachelor's in sports science, I've worked with people with disabilities, I've worked with people with heart issues, I've worked with every single type of person there is, but I feel like because I'm a woman, I need to like prove that like I know my, like I know what I'm doing when I go to the gym, or I know what I'm doing when I'm like coaching someone, which does bother me.
Do you think that people look at you and they think that you might not be that intelligent?
Oh, 100%. Like I got 525 points in my leaving cert. I have always, like, I've been, I was like madly into debating when I was younger, so I was on the debating team. I like did everything that wasn't like, like, you know, people, basically people have always looked at me, oh, you're pretty, like, so you're stupid. And I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm actually really well educated, you know, I've done a degree, I've written a thesis, I'm quite educated. And it does bother me that people are like, oh, well, like, you know, you're pretty, you've got big boobs, you have to be stupid. So like, I'm put into a box. And I'm like, but that's not what I am.
And have you ever felt like, oh God, maybe I should start covering up to be taken more seriously?
Yeah, sometimes, 100%. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to, like, you know, make sure that like my boobs aren't showing. God forbid someone sees a bit of my skin and a man can't control himself. Like, do you know, it's annoying because I'm like, guys can walk around topless and everyone's like, oh, unreal, he's like, you know, really well built or whatever. And then a girl, it's different because we have boobs or something, I don't know. So I do feel like you do, as a girl, like, to be taken seriously, sometimes you have to cover up, wear like baggy hoodies. Do you know, sometimes as well, actually, I was thinking about this, like, when you're walking down the street and say you're wearing leggings and a jumper or whatever, and you have someone shout at you, like, I used to get so embarrassed when people would shout at me. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I'm gonna have to wear baggy tracksuit pants. Like, I naturally have like I have a bum, so I find anytime I go anywhere, I have people shouting at me and being like, you know, catcalling me. And it was like one of the days I was back from Dubai, and I came home and I was training with my little sister, and I had a group of guys across the road like shouting at me, and I was trying to get my keys, and I turned around and I shouted back at them, and it was so funny. They were just like,
what did you say?
I just was like, I don't know if I'm like cursed on the podcast, but I was like, what the
you can curse.
I was like, what the fuck are you saying to me? And the look on their faces, like, they literally went so quiet, red in the face, and walked away. And I was like, my sister was like, God.
Do you know what's so funny about catcalling, right? I've said this to a few of my friends. Do you know when a guy catcalls you and is like, hey, hey? Like, imagine if you went up to him and went, okay, right now, let's have sex in your car. He would actually drop dead. So, like, what is it literally that they actually want? It is to literally objectify you. There's no end goal. They don't want to bring you on a date. They're not trying to get you into bed. They just want to kind of humiliate you in a way. Now, obviously, I think some men think it's a compliment, but it's not. Like, I think a lot of men don't understand how vulnerable and uncomfortable women feel literally all their lives. You're constantly worried. Like, you're going on a night out and you're watching your drink. Am I going to be roofied? You know, you go down a dark lane, you're like, am I going to be raped? Like, this sounds very intense, but that is genuinely how most women feel all the time. You go to a gym, you don't want to wear too much of a revealing top. Like you said, you might wear a baggy hoodie because you're worried that men might look at you. Like, these are things that men at large don't really have to worry about. And I'm not saying there isn't anything that happens to men, of course there is, but being a woman, it's like you said, you're basically born into this vulnerability. You're born to feel this level of being so uncomfortable and being worried. And I think that's why a lot of times women laugh things off. You know, if they're catcalled, they don't respond. You kind of want to let it lie. But it's great that you shouted back, because I feel like this is now the time where we need to start clapping back to this behavior and being like, no, that's not funny. This is literally not good. That's not a compliment. Like, don't shout at me.
Do you know, actually, I have a really funny story, and I feel like you'll really appreciate it. So every time I go somewhere, I'm like to my boyfriend, please come with me. I don't really feel comfortable. I'm always getting shouted at. Like, I don't really like it. So we were in Marbella and we were at Ocean Beach. So we were at a beach club. And basically,
I love that club. Oh,
so good. But basically, I was wearing a bikini, obviously, because everyone was wearing bikinis and shorts or whatever. And I was having a drink. My boyfriend was talking to someone else, and him and his brother were over the other side. And this guy, I was 20, so he was double my age at least, came up and smacked me on the ass. And like, I turned around and I was just like, I was talking to a girl and I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And then I was like, why am I supposed to be embarrassed? I'm like the thought went through my head being like, oh, maybe I should, like, you know, I'm wearing a bikini, like, I deserve. And then I was like, no. So I went and I said it to my boyfriend, and like, my boyfriend is one of few boys that are like really, well, no, there's a lot of guys out there that are decent, But this was so funny. So I told him, I was like, that guy has after like smacking me on the ass. I'm so embarrassed. Like, I feel really upset. So my boyfriend, Craig, walked across the pool. And if you know Ocean Beach, it's a big pool. Went to this group of old men. And he was like, you. And he walked this man. He brought this man all the way around the pool and made him apologize to me.
And amazing.
The man was so like, my boyfriend's quite like built and stuff, so obviously he was a little bit scared, but your man was like, I'm really sorry. And he goes, and for what? And he goes, for disrespecting you.
But that is, I love that you and your boyfriend are like, I'm on your radar, because like, honestly, that is what everyone should do. No one should ever laugh it off. And it does get laughed off. Like, I honestly could not tell you the amount of times stuff like that has happened to me. Now, like, nothing happened to me in Ocean Club. I'm actually really surprised that happened there. Because I would say in the last couple of years, like, I would go to kind of more, you know, VIP places. I wouldn't always be in a club where, like, it's the general public all the time. But when I did used to do that, like, back in college, back in school days, oh my God, like, you would expect to have your ass slapped or your bum pinched all the time. And I worked as a waitress as well for a couple of years through college and all that. And situations like that would happen. And it did happen one time where a guy literally slapped me in the ass, and I like turned back around and I was like, don't you ever touch me again. But there has been situations where things have happened, especially when I was younger. And like, I honestly didn't really know what to do. And this is something that gets brought up a lot in sexual assault cases, where people ask, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you do anything? If you were scared, why didn't you speak up? Blah, blah, blah. But there is this problem, I think, with women where you kind of freeze out of panic, out of fear, and out of kind of safety. It's like a way to protect yourself by not reacting, because you kind of think, right, if I say nothing, this is going to stop or this is going to go away. And I was saying this to you earlier before we started recording, but talking about all these things the last couple of days, it's really reminded me of things that happened when I was younger that I wouldn't at the time have said it was a huge deal. But now I look back and I'm like, God, like, that was not okay. So like, there was one scenario where I think I was 15 or 16, maybe I was 16, but me and my friend, like, we were both school kids. We had been out for the night at something, and you know, I was staying in her house. Like, my mom was very strict. Like, she knew who was there, knew who was picking us up, and it was her brother picking us up that night. All of it was cleared, happy days. So she and her brother sat in the front, and when her brother was picking me up, his friend was in the back. So we were like picking us up together. Like, we were kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, these guys were in their 20s. And I remember sitting in the back, and the guy who was a teacher started holding my hand and started rubbing my hand. And I remember still now the feeling, like, I felt sick to my stomach and I didn't know what to do. Like, my friend was in the front seat. Like, I could have said something. I literally froze. Like, I was so scared. I didn't know what to do, what way to react. Then afterwards, I was like, God, is it because of what I was wearing? Like, am I just maybe a bit too provocative? Like, what happened there? But now I look back and I'm like, I was like 15. He knows what age I was. He was picking up his best friend's little sister, who was also my age. Like, he was fully aware of that. And I felt sick. Like, I wouldn't have had known what anxiety was back then, but I was literally so anxious for days after that. I never told anybody. And I know that's not that serious, but I guess me and you talking about this and speaking about this online, like, my aim is for people to understand that even something as small as that is not okay. And like, these are the things that we need to be speaking up about really early on.
And Ali, you don't know, like, if that guy, you don't know what he would have went on to do. Like, you don't know. So like, it's fine to say that, like, that was uncomfortable. That was not your fault. Like, you weren't provocative. Like, I don't like when guys are like, oh, well, like, you were wearing that low top, so you're kind of asking for it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
When is it, like, when did it be okay for guys to be like, you know, you're wearing a short dress. Like, you know, you're kind of asking for it. Like, that's not okay.
And it was funny, when I started putting up all these posts, my sister was like, oh my God, do you remember that time? Because I lived in Limerick for most of my teens. My sister was like, do you remember that time we were in Limerick and you were walking down the road downtown? Like, so it was in the middle of the day, like, public place, like, town. And this guy walked past me and he was like, oh, I'd love to have sex with you. And I literally was like, no. He walked on ahead and then he stopped. So he stopped in his tracks. So we had to stop as well. And he was like, I'll pay you for it. And at the time, we were both a bit like, oh, right, that's a bit weird. But she brought that up and I was like, yes, that's another situation. Like, I'd say I was 17, maybe 18. But that's another situation where, like, why on earth did a man think it was okay to say that? Whether it was meant in a jokey way or whatever, it made me feel uneasy, unsafe, and uncomfortable. And again, I was like, is this skirt too short? Like, what have I done to, like, attract this sort of attention? And these are the things I think we need to stamp out immediately, is this idea that because we're wearing something that might show off some skin, or because your hair is blonde, or because you're really good at doing your makeup and your lips up really big, like, we need to stop thinking that that's an invitation for sexual misconduct or comments or anyone making you feel uncomfortable. Like, it's not. Like, none of that is okay.
No, I know. And like, so many girls, like, I've had so many girls DM me different things. Like, a girl just before I came on the podcast actually DM'd me and said, oh, in their school, the girls had to stop wearing leggings because the male teachers were getting uncomfortable with it.
Oh, so my God.
I was just like, what? So yeah,
there's this whole idea, right, where they say that women are a distraction. So like, wearing low-cut tops, wearing short skirts, that it distracts men. And a lot of women have messaged me in the last week as well, and like, a lot of the common theme has been this kind of behavior in workplaces, you know, where like, someone's been pulled aside and being like, you know, like, you're the tops that you're wearing, the skirts you're wearing, it's making men in the office distracted. Like, it's bizarre. Like, I'm sorry, if you're distracted by a woman's cleavage, you need to cop the fuck on. Like, you need to focus on something else. Yeah. And it was funny, like, because I was saying in my stories the other day that, or was it on my stories? I was saying it to somebody anyway, that when I was at a work event a couple of years ago, it was like a work dinner. I was on my way to the goth's Christmas party. So I was wearing like a pink, you know, short booby kind of dress. Like, that's my style. But a friend of mine had asked me to pop into this event. It was a male only event. It was all entrepreneurs. But like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a CEO. So he kind of wanted me to get involved. And everyone was lovely. Like, but there was this one guy, and he was like really, really wealthy, huge business guy, like, you know, has his own private jet, that kind of guy. And we were all having a discussion about business. We were talking about business. We were in a circle. Everyone had a drink or two. We were chatting away. And I remember he cut across me and he was like, sorry, I have to stop you there. Like, I actually haven't listened to anything you said. Like, I just got so distracted by your dress. Like, God, that must be so annoying for you. Is that really annoying that like, men can't take you seriously because of how you look?
What?
And I literally nearly dropped dead, because the only one that made it an issue was him. Like, everyone was listening to me, but he couldn't fucking handle his own emotions and was staring at me, and he literally stopped listening. Like, he muted me because he was looking at my boobs, and he was kind of making it seem like this is the problem I have to deal with. He was like, God, that must be so annoying. And I was like, well, I've never had that happen before until right now. And then he kind of just laughed and we moved on. But even then, like, the men that were there, no one really said anything. And it wasn't until he left, or later on, a friend of mine who was there was kind of like, geez, that's a bit weird. And I was like, yeah, but like, it was acceptable behavior. And it was like a normal part of the discussion to say, because I wear tight low-cut dresses. Now, the funny thing is, if the goth's Christmas party hadn't been on that night, I would have worn something different. But then it makes me think, why? Why should I wear something different? Why can't I go to a business dinner with businessmen, wear a sexy dress, and not get unwanted attention, not be taken seriously? Like, he should have been asking me, how long do you own Goss? You know, what's been going on with that? Have you got an investment? Like, what? Look, why did the conversation have to steer towards,
it's because you're a girl,
couldn't take you seriously
because you wouldn't get that from, if you were a guy and a guy was wearing something outrageous, you wouldn't get that. Like,
have you had any experiences like that?
See, the thing is, I'm always in gym leggings, and I'm always in, like, I don't go to fancy events, but like, let me think. I don't get out.
Well, just in general, where like, a situation where you felt because of what you were wearing, you kind of weren't being listened to, or like, you weren't getting the respect you deserve. Even if it's online, like, I do think it happens online quite a lot as well.
See, the thing is, I have a beautiful following. I have a beautiful following of 70% girls. So everything I do, it's hyped up. But when I started out, I got like things like, I'd post in lingerie and people telling me that I wasn't appropriate and that I had to be a bit more appropriate. And I was like, says who? Like, if I post a picture in lingerie, why is it like, why is that inappropriate?
That is
to you?
The thing. And again, I think it goes back to this uncomfortable distraction, that it's like, if I post a photo in my lingerie, it's going to make men that I work with uncomfortable. But it's also, it's women as well, you know, and it's been, I actually cannot tell you the amount of times people have told me to tone down my Instagram, like in the last 6 years, and that's from women and from men, like business advisors, friends, people have literally been like, if you just tone it down, you'll get more work with this, or if you just tone it down. And I'd always argue with them because I'd be like, no, like some of our biggest clients, they're repped by women. Like, so women are doing the agreements with us, and they will see me in Marbella in a swimsuit and they'll DM me and be like, girl, you look amazing. So I was like, I disagree. This is your feeling on it. You're not comfortable seeing me in lingerie, but women that we work with are like, you go, girl. So sorry, you're wrong. But like older women or older men especially would say that. And like I briefly mentioned on Instagram this week, like I was seeing someone very briefly, like not too long ago, and he had like a massive issue with my Instagram. Like he actually refused to follow me on Instagram. He said I looked like a tramp.
Sorry.
That no one took me seriously, that I was like a wannabe, that I was trying to be an Instagram model, that I was never going to be one. And he was like, you need to be more like Anna Wintour if you want to be successful. And I was like, I don't fucking want to be Anna Wintour. Why is that acceptable to you?
No. Because
someone with short brown hair who hides behind their sunglasses, to you, that's an acceptable woman in a business position. I was like, no. Like, and that was only a few months ago, right? So this is how prevalent this is. Men, and he's in his 30s, you know what I mean? He's not a guy that's older, that grew up in a different time. Like, this is someone who could not handle the fact that I was confident, that I was happy to expose my body. It bothered him so much.
I just don't understand. Women's bodies are like overly sexualized with everything. Like a guy can just put up whatever and they're respected, and like you're topless, that's cool. You're at a beach party, cool. But then a girl in a bikini, well, like your ass is like out, you should probably, you know, cover up. And it's like, but why would, like, why do I have to do that?
And why does it, you know, change what you do? You know, like as I was saying earlier about, you know, the Phoenix article that I was in, when they like mentioned the fact that I was too revealing, I was like, what has that got to do with my business though? Sorry, like how is that a side note? I would never write about, you know, a man who and then by the way, he constantly posts topless pics in the gym. Why would I mention that? Do you know what I mean? So it's very frustrating. Oh, that's still at the forefront of people's minds.
Oh, I know, 100%. In this time and age as well, you think women could be like positive, body positive, and be able to post their body without having backlash from people who think that like they should cover up. Do you know?
And I suppose growing up, like, how did you feel like, you know, in school? Like, did you feel you could wear whatever you wanted and be like comfortable around other women? Because you went to an all girls school.
Yeah, so
right?
To be fair, my school was great. Like, my principal was great. Everyone was very, like, whatever you did, you got like, you got a lot of applause for it. So like, I did debating, that was cool. I did rugby, no bother. Like, literally, you could do whatever you wanted. And like, being smart, like looks never really came into it. Like obviously we had to wear a skirt and everything, our uniform, but like honestly I never felt that I was like any less because I was a girl. But then it was like coming out of school was when I started being like, okay, so like my voice doesn't get as heard because I'm a woman. When I started like working professionally, and like I worked as a waitress, and like I was a really fucking good waitress, like I was so good. And I felt that like I didn't get the same kind of like what a guy would get as a waiter. Like I feel like I got a little bit more shit, if you get me. Like I've had like clients, like guys, the customers slap me on the ass, and I'm like, do you even think this is a swear? And I remember I was like working in I was working as a waitress, and one of the customers slapped me on the ass with the newspaper. And I was like, you wouldn't do that to the lad there who's working behind the bar, but you'd smack me on the ass. Do you know?
And what did you do?
I was young, so I literally was like, okay, you know, like, I was quiet. I was like, I don't want to piss anyone off. And I'm like, now because I've come out of my shell and I've kind of grown, I know what I want, I know my worth and I know my value. Whereas, like, when I was younger, I didn't do anything. I just was quite quiet about everything. Like, I was just like, okay, I was like a people pleaser. I don't want to piss anyone off.
And that's the thing. I feel like we're kind of thought to almost laugh those things off, brush those things away, and not cause any drama. Because I think the other preconception about women is that we're so emotional. You know, see, sometimes you don't want to seem like you're over emotional. You don't want to make a big deal out of it because you feel like maybe this man is going to be like, oh, calm down. Do you know, like, get over yourself. And there's that fear. And I think especially when you're in your teens, it's very uncomfortable for something like that to happen. And especially if it's in a workplace, like, you don't want to anger your boss or your management as well. You don't want to cause a scene.
No, literally. And there were so many incidents when I was working as a waitress that, like, things that I could have, like, spoken out about, like, we've been chatting about this, but basically, when I was younger, I was underage, so I got my first job. I was hired on base of my looks, so I had no experience, and the guy was like, he was like, oh yeah, look, we'll hire you because you look like a model. And, like, I'm thinking back at a 16-year-old girl, I'm like, that's disgusting. But anyway,
disgusting, yeah.
And this guy was pretty, you know, he was older. Obviously, the guy who owned the restaurant, he was older. And, like, he sexually harassed me. And, like, I haven't spoken out about it, like, on my Instagram or anything like that, because I kind of closed it in the back of my mind. I was like, no, like, you know, I'm not going to, like, what am I going to do about talking about it? Like, what's it going to do for me? But then I'm like, it's not what it does for me. It's what it does for someone else. Like, if there's a 16-year-old girl working and she hears this and it helps her, I suppose, like, I don't mind talking about it. But basically,
so what actually happened?
So basically, he only really hired women, usually underage, so barely 16, 17 kind of. And he used to, like, sexually harass, and it wasn't just me, it was, like, everybody. But, like, he was kind of like a power, he loved power, he loved the kind of, like, control. So he goes, look, I'm going to promote you, I'm going to give you, like, a raise, but you're going to be on the till. And I was like, unreal. And I remember I was closing up, and it was, like, me, him, and another girl, but she wasn't there. So he came up to me, and he was like, he put his hands on my waist, and I remember being like, I can't even explain how it felt. I was like, that's the feeling that was in my body. And I could feel completely, like, I could feel his hips on my, like, ass. And I was like, oh my God, this is disgusting. Bear in mind, I think I was like 17 or 18, so I was really young. And he whispered something to me, like, it was he whispered something like, close up the till or something. And I could not tell you what he whispered to me because I was in shock. Like, I was frozen. I was like, and, like, I didn't know what to do. And I haven't talked about it because I'm like, oh, like, you know, I close that box, it doesn't matter, like, whatever. But I was taught, like, I was just being quiet about it because I was like, you know, I'm not going to make a fuss. People, like, you know, everyone seems to be cool with how he, like, harasses everyone. So whatever.
It's just accepted. And that's such a big part of the problem. And I guess it's why I want this to keep being spoken about, because I think the way you're speaking with that experience, right, other girls were getting harassed as well, but everyone says nothing. And the problem is, when that happens, a man like him continues to harass people. And it's scary because women don't want to speak up and they don't want to speak out because, number one, they feel like they're not going to be believed. But number two, they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to make a fuss. But, like, if you think back to that time, like, imagine if two or three of you had confronted him and been like, this is not okay. Like, would it have changed things? You never know. And that's why I'm just hoping that younger people listening will be like, we need to stand up for ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, if it happened now, there'd be a completely different story. And I would probably, like, it would just be different because I'm so outspoken now. But at the time, I was 17, first job, I didn't want to lose it. I was, like, scared shitless. And this was a guy abusing his power, abusing, like, what he had. Do you know?
And that's, and, like, you know, I think...
Sorry, go on.
Go on. No, you go on.
So I just think, like, it's really bad as a waitress because I went on and I worked in loads of different, like, waitressing settings. And, like, I was told I worked basically in a restaurant, and they go, look, you have to wear heels. And I was just like, I was a little bit older here, and I told them no. I was like, when you put the guys in heels, I'll wear heels too. And
but like,
that was that.
That's also like outrageous, like how difficult it is, because I waitressed for years on and off, like how difficult it is to hold trays when you're in high heels. Like, sorry, like it's actually genuinely just not helpful to the job, let alone massively sexist.
And you know, it was in our contract as well that we had to wear heels and we had to wear makeup, and I was just like, but why does this make me a better waitress? I would be a way better waitress if it was in some tidy pumps, you know, like I don't understand that.
And this is the thing about this whole issue, right, is it's about this whole double standards issue, is that there's two sides to it, right? So there's number one, you look too sexy, you're distracting the staff, you are damaging your reputation by how you dress, you can't post these photos. And then there's the other side where it's like, I need you to wear makeup, I want you to do your hair like this, I want you to wear heels. Neither of those situations are okay. Like, neither of them are fair, and it should have it's nothing to do with it. Like, I understand, for example, in a workplace office setting, that you shouldn't come in a tracksuit, okay? So, you know, I understand rules like that. If you're going to be meeting clients, you obviously need to be in some way professional looking. But I would never comment on the length of someone's skirt, the, you know, whether a top was too low, whether their hair was pretty enough. Like, all of that stuff is ridiculous.
Oh, I know, 100%. And the fact that it was in contracts, because I've had girls message me telling me that they're, you know, they're working in certain places and it's in their contracts that they have to get up earlier to do their makeup because it's in their contract. Like, I get it, like, you have to look tidy going into work, but like, I don't understand, like, why you have to wear makeup and heels and like look a certain way.
Yeah, because even actually one of my, like, now I've been working since I was like 13, so illegal, but I've always just worked loads of jobs. But I remember when I must have been around 19, I was in an office setting, and I remember getting an email, and it was actually from a female superior. This is the thing, it's funny, it's women and it's men, but I remember she was like, you need to wash your hair more, your hair looks a bit greasy, and pencil skirts and heels, please, right? That's what she wrote in the email. And obviously I was like really young, so I was like, oh God, yeah, like no problem. And I did. But now looking back, I'm like, excuse me? Like, I would never say that to my staff. I would never be like, guys, seriously, wash your hair. It's so inappropriate. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how you look. And even in our industry, which is a very visually driven industry, I would still never make those comments. So it's hard to know what to do now, because I feel like there's a little bit of kind of a movement kicking off a bit. And it's definitely on the back of the Me Too movement, where I think people are starting to realize the problem is actually much deeper. So assaults and rapes and abuse of power is horrendous, but I do truly believe that that's like a big oak tree of problems, right? But there's the seed at the very start. That's where we need to really have action, because the seed is when you're younger, someone slapping you on the ass and no one standing up for you. The seed is, you know, someone saying that you look really attractive when it's really awkward, or saying you look too attractive, or saying, you know, not taking you seriously because you're wearing a sports bra that shows off your boobs. Like, I feel like if we tackle these things, the basic gender inequality, the basic sexism, like, we really could prevent that tree from like even being born. Oh, you know, like growing
someone,
at all.
You know, if you get smacked on the ass on a night out and like everyone is like, what are you doing? That's how you change it, when everyone's against it.
Yeah, like what your boyfriend did in Marbella is unreal. And there's so many men who would not have done that in that situation. They would have been like, oh, leave him off, he's had a few drinks, you're grand. Like, it's amazing that he did do that.
He's very funny that way. He does, like, he always calls people out for being rude to me. And, like, obviously I'll say something too, but it's funny when he does it, because it's like, you know, another guy calling out another guy for being a sexist.
Yeah. Like, have you seen Normal People? I know you're in Dubai, but have you seen that?
No, I don't. See, we don't get a lot of the channels that are in Ireland.
The
so,
RT stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a really good episode in it where basically the two main characters are in school and they're going to a disco, and this guy like is all over the main girl and he's like trying to kiss her, trying to grope her, and she gets really upset and everyone's like, will you fucking calm down? Like, he was only messing, he's had a few drinks, blah, blah. But like, no one stood up for her. And you're dead right. Like, that is the problem. If you're in a situation like that, and even as an onlooker, like, you should step in. Like, those things aren't okay. And they really deeply affect people. There is such a shame attached to sexual harassment and sexual misconduct that I think unless it's happened to you, you won't understand it. But when a man touches you inappropriately, when a man pushes the line too far and gets too close. It's scary, it's uncomfortable, but you also have this weird like feeling of shame because you start to question, do you attract this behavior? Have I done something wrong? Like, am I too provocative? Do I look like a slut? And even like people I've known over the years have been like, oh, you know, if you stopped posting such sexy photos on Instagram, you would definitely find yourself a good guy. Like, you're attracting the wrong kind of guys. Whereas the conversation should be, bad men are contacting me. It's not that I am making this happen. Like, a man shouldn't message me saying something provocative just because I have a dress on that's a bit tight. Like, they shouldn't feel entitled to message me and suggest, you know, so many guys have messaged me in the last even few weeks being like, you should start an OnlyFans, I pay to see more.
I get that too.
Made me feel like a prostitute.
Literally, I get that too, actually. So I got my, you know, you're like, oh, see, I always block out negative comments on my Instagram, so I literally don't think about them. But just as you're saying that, when I got my boobs done, so I got my boobs done last year, and like, obviously really open about it, I don't mind talking about it, it was something I wanted to do, like, for me, for my body, and I'm like cool with that. But when I got them done, I had a guy commenting being like, oh my God, porn star next. And I was like, what? I was like, no. I was like, because I decide to have boobs doesn't make me now gone from Kiki with no boobs.
Available to everyone.
Yeah, like, I just don't understand that. And actually, when I got them done, I had a load of guy friends being like, every time I'd meet them, I'd be with my boyfriend and everything. And his friends were like, oh, so how are the boobs? And I'm like, can you get over it? I'm like, they're boobs, like, can you stop talking, like, asking me? Because I was so like chatty about it, and I was talking about it, it was like every time I met someone, okay, they were just like, how are the boobs? And I'm like, yeah, they're fine, they're still on, so like, can we move on from this topic, please?
But like, you wouldn't be like, how are your balls today? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and this is the thing, right? There's this whole ideology, I don't know if you've heard of it before, called the male gaze. I studied it loads in college, but it's basically just how films, TV, magazines, they're basically all shot through the male gaze, which basically means it's through the eyes of a man. And I did a bit project on it in college, actually, and I used Charlie's Angels as an example. If you've ever seen the first Charlie's Angels movie, you should watch it again after listening to this. But the way it's all shot, like, so when you see Cameron Diaz on the beach, the shot starts off on her ass and like rolls up her body. So you are kind of thought to objectify her because that's how the film is shot. So you start objectifying her with your own eyes. And there's a big problem with the male gaze because I think men genuinely feel that you are doing things for them. So when you got your boobs done, that equals to guys, oh, she did that for us. Instead of, you did this for yourself, for your confidence, for your own personal reasons, you then chose to be open about it so you could express how you're feeling and talk about the journey. That still doesn't give anybody license to comment on your body or ask you, how are your boobs?
Oh, I know. And it's like, I got my boobs done and, you know, like, I'm pretty open on my Instagram because I'd never lied to my followers or anything, like, about work I get done or whatever. And like, that kind of triggered people to be like, oh, so like, you're gonna start an OnlyFans? And I'm like, no, I did this for my confidence. Not saying you have to have boobs for confidence, but I did it for me. It was something I thought about and for like a good while. And then now I have men like Johnny down the road asking me, am I gonna start a porn, like, am I going to be a porn star? And I was just like, I have a boyfriend, I'm living in Dubai, like, what?
Like, how does it make you feel, like, when you were getting those kind of comments? Like, what were you, like, internally, what were you thinking in your head?
Honestly, I felt shit. Like, I was just like, I'm so much more than, like, my boobs. I'm so much more than my body. I'm a really opinionated person. I'm really educated. And I'm like, the only thing people can, like, zone in on are my boobs. And I'm like, amazing. You know, and it does piss me off. Do you know?
And it's like, how do we change this? Because I genuinely believe that a lot of our biggest issues in the world are societal, which basically means that, like, it's something we're thought. So, like, you know, when we're born, we don't look at color, for example. You don't see black and white. You don't see sexuality. When you're a baby, you've no idea what it means to love a man or love a woman. But it's as you grow up, you're taught about racism, basically, by how people around you will treat other races, or you're thought about sexuality if you're thought about a man should love a woman, not a man should love a man. So I feel like this whole problem with sexism and gender inequality and misogyny, it's coming from society. It's based on actions. It's based on words that are used and how people treat each other. So what do you think we can do to really start to stamp out these whole ideologies?
Honestly, I'm going to keep talking about it on my Instagram because it is something that really triggers me. But I just know when I have kids that I'm not going to gender stereotype them. Like, my mom and dad were great at being everyone go clean up the kitchen, everyone go bake a cake. Like, my brother is actually a better cook than me and my sister. Like, my parents never been Matthew, girls out there, cook. you're doing the outdoor jobs and, the sisters inside washing and cleaning. Like, it was never like that. So I think it does stem from at home. So when I have kids, they'll all be doing everything. Like, it's not going to be you're this and you're that. Because, I was never made feel like that until I went into society. So I think it's something that's taught at home as well.
I agree. And I definitely think, as well as that, even us now as adults, it's about voicing how we feel. Like, even, I had an incident a year ago where an entrepreneur that I know kept kind of messaging me the odd time being oh, are those pictures for me? Like, I'd put up photos in Marbella in a swimsuit and I was ha ha ha. But it kept happening and happening and happening. And I was literally this, you have to stop messaging with this. This isn't funny. Like, I am not posting these photos for you. This is making me uncomfortable. It's not okay. And I really had to put him in his box. So I think it's important to have those uncomfortable conversations. If someone or relative of a friend or anything like that, if someone says something to you that sexualizes you and that makes you feel uncomfortable, I think now is the time that we start, talking back and being actually, I'm not going to laugh this off. That's not okay. You can't slap my ass. You can't say you like my boobs. You know, I'm not going to respond anymore by going, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to be no, don't speak to me like this. I am a serious businesswoman. I'm an entrepreneur. Treat me with respect.
Oh, literally. And there's no reason just because you have boobs or just because you're wearing a low-cut top that you should deserve, that you deserve any less respect. Do you know? And I find that there...
And what do you think...
Sorry, go on.
Go on.
No, I just find that, I'm 20, I'm 23, and I have my own business. I'm a girl. Me and my boyfriend both have our own businesses, but he's respected and everyone's oh, boss or whatever. And then it's just I do stuff too, I'm here being I do the same thing.
That's what I was just gonna ask you. What do you think you can do, or what can society do, I suppose, to change that? What are you gonna do in the near future? I suppose now that we're talking about this more publicly, what can you do, I suppose, to kind of prevent that way of thinking?
Definitely think calling people out on when you feel, that they've embarrassed you or they just made you feel less than you should. But I do think that women have to stick together. And anyone I see doing well, I will never tear down another woman or talk about another girl. What's she wearing? That's not me. I think that girls need to come together and definitely hype people up. Hype your girls up. I do think it's really important because it's scary being a girl and taking a business venture. I was scared being I'm starting my own business. Whoa. But when you have support of other women, and it's a lot easier, and I think it does make life a lot easier.
And this is the thing, I've been talking about this all week long, with friends, colleagues, my family, getting all these messages in, and one of the most common things that I've spoken about is how women are actually massively the culprit in a lot of these situations, slut shaming. I actually couldn't really tell you how many times I've heard a man call someone a slut. It's so little, whereas with a woman, I could not count the amount of times I've heard a woman call someone a slut. This is the thing. This is why there's a call to action here, because if you're going to call someone a slut or a slapper, or she always wears low cut tops, why is she not wearing a bra? Her ass is sticking out. When you're saying that, you're saying to other men that this behavior is okay. And it is what leads down the road of harassment, sexual misconduct, rape, all those things. Whereas if women came together, I've always said this in general, just about women being so bitchy. If women were to come together, we would be such a strong gender, because together we could literally eradicate all of this. But because there is still women bad-mouthing each other, and I'm sure there's some women that would look at you, look at me, see our posts on Instagram and call us sluts, call us too revealing, can't take her seriously, stay to her. And maybe if we were covering up, or we were heavier, or something like that, maybe they'd be oh, fair play. So there is a jealousy aspect to this problem. So for men, I feel it's abuse of power, it's dominance, it's because they can. And with women, it's jealousy. They just want to tear you down. So that's why they call you those names.
Yeah, I just think that, like, you know, there's too many girls tearing girls down. Like, you know, even when I started doing Instagram, you know, people were like, oh, like, who do you think you are? And I'm just like, if I had listened to those girls, then I wouldn't be where I am today with my business, with my, like, you know, I'm bringing out, like, bands, I do ebooks, I help so many women, like hundreds of women. And I, if I'd listened to people, to, like, mainly women telling me, like, who do you think you are, like, put on clothes or whatever, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I just think there should be a bit of a shift towards, instead of tearing women down, we want to build them up. If you see someone doing well, say well done, don't bitch about them, just be like, you go girl, like that. I just don't understand why people can't
do that.
Neither
can I. It's something that's honestly boggled my mind pretty much all my life, because I was bullied so much by girls in school. Like, I moved schools twice, like, I had a horrendous time. And it was funny, my mum only reminded me the other day about this time when I was leaving my second school because of bullying again. And I used to always, like, you know, be in the school musical. I, like, wrote the school play, I was really involved in all that stuff, I always sang in church, like, all that stuff. So, you know, I think that's where a lot of the jealousy came from. Like, I would be really confident and bubbly and I was talented, you know. But I remember my last day of school, the talent show was on, and my mum was just like, if you don't want to go on stage and do it, like, just leave it, it's your last day. And, like, people were being horrible to me at the time, right? And she only reminded me of the day, she was like, do you remember you went in and you went up on stage and you sang anyway, and people started booing, all that stuff, but by the end of it people were clapping. And she was like, you've always been so determined to just prove people wrong. So I do agree with you there, like, the way you can become, because of women being so against you, like, you do get stronger. But, like, those things shouldn't happen. Like, there shouldn't be this jealousy there. Like, you should be able to be a fitness instructor or sing a song or be a successful influencer and not have women wanting to literally destroy your confidence by being so horrible.
I know,
to you.
Like, I think that there's plenty of room for everyone to do their own thing. Like, there's no need for you to be feeling threatened by someone doing well.
And I know you were saying earlier, like, you studied a good bit about gender inequality in college. What was it that you were doing?
Yeah, so basically, I did sports science and health. So obviously I took a lot of modules that were about gender inequality in sport. And it's just mad how sexualized and how just it's so unequal for girls. Like, for example, there's a couple of examples now that are coming back to me. I'm like remembering the lecturers, but like we, I don't remember much, but we basically were, we were studying gender inequality in sport, and Serena Williams had just won, I can't remember what cup it's called, the tennis cup. Now, this is a girl that she is an incredible athlete. I don't even know how many hours.
Top of her game.
Yeah, can you imagine the hours she's put in? Like, she's put in the work and she has won and she's buzzing. And the presenter, now to be fair, he got a lot of backlash for this comment, goes, give us a twirl. And, like, I'm just like, she's a professional athlete. She'd probably whip your ass. Like, and you're asking her to twirl? I'm like, why? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, like, I'm sure she hated hearing that comment as well, because it takes away from what just happened. Like, it doesn't take it away, but, like, for a moment you can feel it takes it away. You know, if someone's commenting on your dress.
She obviously didn't twirl. She just stared at him. Like, she didn't do it, obviously.
I need to Google,
like,
this moment.
It just made him... You should, it's so good. But it just made him look like a gobshite.
Yeah. Well, look, it's been so good having you on. It's great getting someone else's opinion. And, like, you're so young, but you're so strong on your opinions, which is just amazing, because this is what I'm hoping will happen, you know, with our conversation and keeping it going, that women your age and my age and younger and older will all start to realize that this stuff that makes you uncomfortable is wrong. And, like, it is now the time to stand up for yourself. And tell us, where can we find you on social media for anyone listening who mightn't follow you already?
Yeah, so you can find me on KikiFit, so it's _KikiFit, and I'll pop up. So
perfect. I'm going to start watching your actual workout stuff as well, because I only just started following you and I need to work out, so I'm going to be watching.
I do live workouts every single morning, so okay. Free live workouts.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for talking to us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ali.